Good morning. It's almost the afternoon. No. Hope the power doesn't go out again. Of course, we had to have a service that was a little unusual, out of the ordinary, right? Wouldn't be New Life if that didn't happen. I want to thank you, Pastor Rick and Terry. I thank you so much for your graciousness. I thank you for your love. A lot of pastors wouldn't invite the founding pastor to come back and to address the flock. So that's very gracious and very nice. Amen. And I'm very impressed. Amen. And God has this church in good hands. Amen. So we appreciate that. We love you. And I have a sense that this is just the beginning. Sometime in the future, we will work together. God is ordaining that. We'll all work, and we are all going to see the fruit of all the labor that has gone on. I see many people here that if it weren't for you, this church wouldn't exist either. We know that God is sovereign, and God has to build a house, but God builds the house through people also. And there's so many people here today. I want to say thank you to you. I think you know I'm very appreciative. But I don't want to assume that today. I want to tell you I am very appreciative. That it's because of your hard work, your labor, your generosity, that we have this place to worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Turn to one another and say thank you. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. I haven't been here in 10.5 years, but I was founding pastor of the church here and pastored here for 20 years. And there's many of you that I don't have the pleasure of knowing, but I just have this strange sense the Lord is telling me I'm going to get to know you even better. Yeah. I don't know how he's going to work that out, but it's going to happen. Yeah. And so we'll leave it in his hands. I want to thank you for continuing the work. I know when we came here, it wasn't because we always had a desire to build a church or whatever. I think if you want to build a church, you're a little crazy. The only reason why you want to build a church is God told you to do it. The church that we're part of now in Arizona, I know the pastor there says, I struggled for several years with God saying to me, build a church. He really didn't want to do it. He didn't feel that he was really equipped to do that. And we're beginning now to go into a building program. But, you know, you have to be called of God. You have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has called me to do that. That's what kept me going many years. Now, maybe a lot of the problems were because of me and my wacky personality. Who knows? But we had a lot of problems establishing this church. And we haven't seen really the fullness of what God wants to do here. Amen.
Amen?
Amen? I had a sense, I appreciate the words that did come forth already, but the Lord was giving me another sense, kind of a vision, kind of a word. And I felt him saying that many of you have had people say to you, why are you going to that church? Why don't you go to this church? This church is better. This church has this. This church has that. And the Lord's saying, I am calling people that I want here for this work. And a lot of you even say to yourselves and sometimes say to one another, you're nothing special. You're just very humble. You don't have a great education. You don't have great experience. How can God use you? Let me tell you this. God reminds us that he picks the fools of the world like me and like you. He picks the sinners, people who know they have no righteousness of their own. And they're the ones that he chooses, he picks. And you know what? It doesn't matter how many you have. Because like with Gideon, God said to him, you have too many. And kept paring down. And so I knew that God called us to do this. I was someone that had a hard time in the past with wanting to give up a lot. So God changed a lot in me, as well as used me, hopefully, in a very positive way to influence some of you. But people have said to you, why are you going to that church? You know, that's a crazy church. They're not that great. They're not this. They're not that. How many of you have had people say to you, why are you going to that church? I know it. And that's what the Lord was saying. You know why you're going? Because God wants you here.
Amen.
You don't go to church because you're going to get what you want. If you're really strong in the Lord, you go somewhere because God called you there.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
And there's too many people that are going around switching churches, whatever. God can't use you. Forget it. If you're just going to be like shifting sand, moving around, forget it. God can't use you. He's looking for a handful or two handfuls of people who are solid, who know who they are in Christ, who know that apart from Him, they can do nothing, who know that I want to serve God and I want Him to be praised. That's what He's looking for. The Lord kind of showed me, it was kind of partially a vision or a word even when we were worshiping. I could see a tree, and I could see the roots of the tree. And the Lord says, I water the roots. A lot of people are watering the branches. A lot of people are watering the leaves. But I, the Lord God, water the roots. So let your roots go deep in me. Don't concentrate on how can we build a church, because the Lord says, I shall build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against her. There's a lot of people building churches. I didn't build a church here because I don't know how to build a church. But I love Jesus. And I appreciate Him. Right? And He's the one who has to build the church through the power of His Spirit. I have a real sense, the Lord's saying, in the coming days, you're going to be thinking of a lot of programs, a lot of this, a lot of that. That's all great. But you know what? You're going to have to let that go. And you're going to have to let God bring the growth the way He wants. And what He wants is people to be founded in the Word. He wants the roots to be watered. And He will bring the growth. Do you know what I'm trying to say? We're not here to make this church look great. We're not here to try to do our own thing. We're here that Jesus would be glorified. Because the end thing is, it's His church. It's not my church. It's not your church. And I left here, it's like, thank you, Jesus, for letting me be in your church.
Amen.
What church do you want me to be part of now? It's His church. Too many people are building man's church. And Jesus wants to build His church. How do you participate in that? You get close to Jesus and you stay there. You grow in Him. You let Him water the roots. You don't come up with this program, this plan, this idea. You grow deeper in Him and you stay close in Him. And you stay close to one another. Amen? And so I felt the Lord saying a lot of people are watering branches, watering leaves, and God wants to water the roots. And I believe most of you, or at least some of you, know that you're part of the roots of this church. How many of you know that for sure? Don't let anyone move you. Keep drawing close to Him. Let Him water you. Let Him water the house in His time. It will blossom the way He wants. I felt the Lord saying, we're all a lot of very humble people. The world may think a lot of us are foolish or we don't have much to offer. But they're the people that God uses. And so what we need to do is wait for Him. He will bring the growth. We don't have to try to push it. We have to just keep worshiping Him and growing in His Word. So I want to thank all of you who are part of the roots of this church. And I want to thank those of you who came maybe a little bit later who are now the maintainers. And you're becoming part of the root system. And God's going to use you in a mighty way. Amen. Growth can happen 1, 2, 3. Right? But the roots have to be strong to maintain the growth. I'm going to share several things here. It's hard to know some of the things I'm sharing. I didn't plan to share at all. But I really want to speak a word that's timely, that's right. I'm not someone, as I told Pastor Rick, I don't want to have a nice little service. Oh, we had a nice little anniversary service. I could care less about that. I want to share something that maybe you'll think about, maybe something you'll meditate on, something when you're going through a rough time, maybe you'll remember and say, this is what it's all about. Many times during the 20 years that I was here, we needed to remember what God said. We needed to remind one another that God called us here. We didn't plan this church. We didn't build this church. But we're going to stay here no matter what. The Lord told me so many times along the way that the key in this area is perseverance. I remember sitting in my office so many times saying, oh, Lord, you know, nothing's happening. We should have 500 people. We should have, you know. And I just heard a voice so clearly say, perseverance is the key. Amen? And you know what? The harvest is about to come. And it's not going to come the way you expect it, but it's coming. It's coming because God is able to make divine connections. And God's going to make some connections, and you're going to sit back and say, boy, we did some great planning, and we really had a great revival. You're going to sit back and say, how awesome is God?
Yes.
Yes. Amen?
Yes.
He doesn't want man to take the credit. He's going to take the credit, and we will lay our crowns and lay our simple works before Him and say, Jesus, you did it. So God's going to do it. And I'll tell you what, it's not going to be too long. You're going to see some divine connections. It's going to happen in a way that you know, and I know, we couldn't have planned this. It happened. Amen? That should be the end. That's not the end, though. I just want to share that as an encouragement for you. I can't take credit for anything this church is right now because it's all Jesus. I couldn't do it. Pastor Rick and Terry and the leaders of this church are wonderful people, but you know what? None of you can take credit either. We're just all workers. But let me tell you, Pastor Rick, God's going to make some divine connections. You're going to see them. You're going to be surprised. You don't know how they're going to happen, but they will happen. Don't worry about it. It will happen. It will happen unexpectedly. And God will bring the growth that I think we've always wanted. Amen? We're in a time right now, there's a real pattern of lawlessness that's dominating our society. And unfortunately, it's found in civilizations that are in the process of decline. I don't have to tell you what kind of shape our country is, and our country isn't the only one. The world is changing very rapidly. I remember hearing years ago, probably when I was here, people talked about in our country we're living a time of post-Christianity. I don't know what you call it now, but maybe we're going into a time of no Christianity. Our society is in a real process of decline. And you know why that is? Because our people have rejected God's word as the ultimate authority. I'm really tired of a lot of people that have been in churches for years and years and years, and they only know a few trite sayings from the Bible. Or let's read Psalm 23. I love Psalm 23, but let's get beyond that.
Yeah.
let's really know some of the doctrine, some of the theology. You know, some people struggle with the Lord's Prayer. Let me tell you, if you want to be part of the revival that God's bringing here, you need to be a student of the Word of God. I'm not talking about trite little sayings, a little verse here and there. The time is over for nice little verses. The time is here to say, I am a student of the Word of God. This is my priority. I know what the Word of God says, and I've made a decision. I will follow the Word, no matter what people do. We don't want to be arguing about opinions. We don't need arguments about opinions. We need to say, my opinion doesn't matter, but God says. And that's where I take my stand, because God said it. I believe it, and I will do it. Amen? And so we're in a period now, it's a period of lawlessness, because we have rejected God's Word as the ultimate authority. And even as Christians, we've been dilettantes in studying God's Word. If you're not reading at least a chapter of God's Word each day and meditating on it, you're not in a good place. Can I repeat that? Anyone want to give me an amen?
Amen?
I'm telling you, if you want to stand strong in the coming days, you don't need to just be in nice devotionals that says how great we are and how much God loves us. We know God loves us. We want to see Him loved and Him respected. And we want to see His Word accomplished. Amen? And so I'm saying to you, if you're not doing it already, at least one chapter a day of the Word, and you sit and pray about it, read it, and study it. Is that all right that I say that? Maybe some of you are doing more than that. The time is here for the church to be the church. Not to be the Holy Spirit of judging everyone and criticizing everyone, and try to accomplish God's goals with human means. The time is for the church to be the church, to be available, to know Him, and to speak His Word to a society that's in the process of declining. We're in a bad place as a society. We're used to illicit sexual relationships. In many churches, people are living together. They're having affairs. I probably don't have to tell you that in this area. Good sampling of society in general. And so we have Christians. Sexual relationships outside of marriage. We have abortion. We have cheating. We have lying. We have stealing. We have sexual trafficking. We have prostitution. We have rape. We have divorce. We even have murder. And we've gotten used to financial mismanagement in our governments, every level of society, and we've accepted political corruption. Should I take this off? Am I interfering with that? I'm crackling. I don't think I'm that old that I should be crackling. And we even have political corruptness. And the crowning achievement recently, as we have accepted as a country same-sex marriage. Now, I don't want to go there because I think you know about it, but even at the hotel this morning, I saw people congratulating one another for the rainbow shirts they were wearing and whatever. What a disgrace! We have taken the sign of God's covenant with Noah and made it the symbol for same-sex marriage. And our White House is flooded with rainbow colors.
Yeah.
Now you may say, well, you're not being very kind. I am being kind. People are deceived. I love the people, but they're deceived.
Yeah.
I say, I love you. I'll help you. You want me to agree with you? I can't agree with you. Will I be a friend? I'll be a friend. But I can't decide what my opinion is. And the disgrace that we would take the symbol of God's covenants with Noah, which is a covenant that destruction, that we will not be destroyed by a flood again. And we've taken that and, well, we want to be nice people. I'm going to repeat something I used to say all the time. Grow up!
Amen.
Our first priority isn't to be nice people. Our first priority is to be His people.
Amen.
We got saved and we were brought out of society to be His holy people. A holy priesthood. A people set apart from Him, for Him. I'll be your friend, but I'm committed to Him first. Right? And so we have people patting one another on the back. They don't believe that there's a possibility of healing. They don't believe there's a possibility of deliverance. So we've all decided, let's just accept sin and say it's great. Let's celebrate sin. How far have we gone? In our society, we celebrate sin. And it's not right. It's wrong. People say there's a judgment coming. Hello?
Yeah.
The judgment came. And it's still working.
Yeah.
And we see it. Our whole society is being transformed. Our beloved president said he would transform America. Thank you. You did. I know you're not supposed to get political, but hey, this man is ungodly. And we need to follow God's word. He is the primary authority that we follow. Would you like me to switch mics? Are you having a little problem today?
Yes.
Is it because of me? Playing with me?
Yes. Try that.
Steve, I love you, but please give me an easy time today. Am I on again?
Yes.
Okay, so we're in a society that's in a process of decline. And you know what? Your citizenship is no longer in this world. As you read the Word of God, it tells you our citizenship is in heaven. And we're responsible to our King first. No earthly king. No one else who sets himself, you know, beyond God or above God. So we have a society that's going terribly wrong. I started getting really depressed thinking about it one day. And then all of a sudden I was flooded with joy and with hope. And I felt the Holy Spirit saying, look, your redemption draweth nigh. We're going home soon. But you know what? We have a work to do. There's a revival to happen here. And the revival will not only be here. In time, God's going to send people from here to other places to hold revival.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
There's great times ahead because God has prepared us for these works that He wants us to do. And it's not us deciding, let's be a church, let's have fun, let's have fellowship, let's make some plans. God said, I ordained this, I planned this, and I will do it.
Amen?
Amen. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24, verse 12, it says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Let me repeat that again. Matthew 24, 12. This isn't the main scripture I want to preach on, but I want to mention this. Matthew 24, 12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Now it says the increase of wickedness. What is that? False teaching. False prophets. People telling us God just wants to bless you. You know what? God blesses me as I bless His name. And God has taken care of me. God has provided for me far better than I ever could. I tell you that His word is true. But I didn't seek the blessings. I sought the blesser. And there's a lot of false teachings that lead us to think, you know, send in your money and I'll send you the holy water that will pay off your mortgage. I thought of getting some of that holy water and bringing it to my bank, but I don't know how they would react. There's a lot of false teaching. I can't tell you how many churches have capitulated to this same-sex type of thing. Or practicing homosexuals taking pastorates. Now again, I want to tell you, so that you don't get me wrong, I'm not a legalistic person. I know who I am. I know my weaknesses. And God chose the weakest of the weak when He called me. But I need to say, you know, we can't celebrate sin. I know that people have problems because of sin in our DNA from Adam and Eve. I mean, people have different problems. People struggle with same-sex attraction. I understand that. I get that. It's not the end of the world. Some people struggle with, you know, lust in their lives. They're chasing after everything. Some struggle with stealing or whatever. What I'm trying to say is we can't say that what God has said is sin is not sin. And a lot of churches who don't know Jesus, who don't know the power, just decide, well, let's say that sin isn't sin anymore and we'll all feel a lot better. It just doesn't work that way. There's even churches in this area that decide, well, it's not such a big thing. I believe that when you start redefining something as basic as marriage, which no civilization has done in thousands of years, that tells you we're in big problems. We have big difficulties. Because we have to recognize that we have a creator and we're only creatures. So because of the increase of wickedness, false teaching, false prophets, the love of most will grow cold. Now that's not talking about the love of most people in the world. It's talking about the love of most Christians. You know how I know that? Because the word for love is agape. We all have phileo love. We have friends. We hopefully like our family. Can't do much about it. You know, we have our friends. We love them. But the word here is agape love, which is a love that only God can give us. We can't conjure it up on our own. It's a love given by God. So those who were saved and received the agape love of God, it starts growing cold. Because people are not in the Word of God. They don't know what the Word says. They go along with the false teachings. They go along with the false prophets. And we lose all the power. How many of you know that sin depletes power? And so because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The Greek word agape is a love that people only have because God has given it to them. And the people whose agape love is growing cold had it in the first place. It refers to those people who God has called into a relationship with Him. And agape love means a deliberate act of the will as a matter of principle and duty. Agape love is manifested first towards God because it's submissive, obedient love. A person does what is right regardless of how they feel about it. We show agape love to our Father through our obedience, our submission to Him and to His Word. And we show agape love to one another through sacrifice. We love one another because God first loved us. We don't sit in our churches holding grudges for 45 years. Which is stupid. Think about it. Tell someone that's stupid. I mean, it's really stupid, isn't it? And so we show agape love to other people. We love them even though they're unlovable. We love them even because they've hurt us. We love them because they've even offended us. If you know the forgiveness of God, you will forgive other people. Turn to someone and say, "You offended me." Now say to that person, "Snap out of it." So we're in a time, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. And I'm talking about Christians. People who once knew the Lord. The love is growing cold. The Word does tell us that very few will enter through the narrow gate. Very few will actually be saved. What does it mean we have to do? We have to stay on alert. We have to be in the Word of God. We have to be in fellowship with other Christians who are following the Lord, not those who are trying to lead us astray. And we have to be watchful. Look back over your life. I look back on my life. I'm looking back 30 years. I'm looking back to 30 years ago when I started here. It would be very sad if 30 years later, it's like I came to a pit in the ground. You know, I wasted my whole life. Think about your life. Are you in a better place now than you were last year? When you look back, are you in a better place than you were 30 years ago? Assuming you're 30. If you're not 30, you were in a better place. We have to be thoughtful. We have to look. We don't waste our time. When we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, the Word of God tells us you have died. Your life is hidden now in Christ. And so we look, has my life made a difference? Sometimes you can't tell, and sometimes you just try your best. But God will give you signs all along the way. You've touched a life, you've done this. There should be some evidence of growth. If there's no evidence of growth in your life, we need to get back to the basics and say, are you saved? I'm not talking about doubting your salvation. I'm talking about growth. If there's no growth, there's no salvation. I don't care if you walk the line, if you signed a card or whatever. If there's no growth, you're not saved. And I have good news for you. You can get saved. You can become a new creation. This is a supernatural process. It's not an add-on. It's being changed radically inside. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We know we all need work done, but we know we have been saved. There's no doubt. And I know the growth seems slow at times, but I am growing. I have seen evidence, right? Other people have grudgingly mentioned they see evidence. Feels good to be ornery again. So the agape love that God gave to people when they accepted Him will start growing cold. And they'll start serving man. Start believing man's opinions. Go along with the crowd. Let me tell you, God doesn't want you going along with the crowd. You're different. Hate to tell you this, but you're peculiar. You're odd. You stick out like a sore thumb in society. You know what? That's the way it's supposed to be. Think of where we are in the summer of 2015. Violence is exploding in our cities, our schools, our churches. Racism is tearing us apart. And it appears things are getting worse, not better. The Supreme Court has redefined marriage. Abortions are occurring at more than 1 million a year and put America on the fast track to destruction and judgment. Since 1973, Americans have murdered 57 million children through abortion. Is the ground cursed through the shed blood? Think back to Cain and Abel. You think God's going to ignore that?
No.
You think God's bringing judgment, or has it started? It started. We're in the midst of it. We need to keep our eyes on the goal. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Poverty is growing. Drug and alcohol use is epidemic. Abroad, Iran is closing in on the nuclear bomb. ISIS is exploding in the Middle East. The Kremlin, Russia, growing more aggressive. Yet, our politicians continue to bicker, stall, play golf. Many abdicate their constitutional responsibilities. Many Americans have little hope for the future, little confidence in government, little confidence in the media or the universities, and far too little confidence in the church. You know what? We need to keep what we're doing. I enjoyed the worship because I know it was from the heart. I know we were worshiping Him. I was thinking, gee, maybe some people come in, they'll think we're a little fanatical. I got over that a long time ago. I'm a fanatic. I'm weird. That's okay. I live in my own little world and everybody likes me there. Many people see very little reason to go to church, and they're drifting away from whatever faith they once had in Jesus Christ. And worst of all, many of the churches no longer proclaim Jesus Christ as King. There was a recent survey that showed the Christian percentage of the population dropped a whopping 8% since 2007. Every major brand of Christianity in the United States has lost a significant number of members. And what's the problem? Because man has rejected God's word and submission to Him, he has been given over to a reprobate or depraved mind that seeks self-gratification over responsibility to others. Romans 1. I'm not going to read that whole thing, but make a note to read Romans 1. And if you haven't read it recently, it will tell us all a lot. We've rejected God's word. We've rejected submission to our Creator. And we've been given over to a reprobate, which means a depraved mind that seeks gratification of self over responsibility to other people. A reprobate or a depraved mind is a mind that can no longer see truth. A reprobate mind makes the imagination go wild. A reprobate mind leads people to do things that shouldn't be done. Sounds a little dismal, doesn't it? But not for us, because we know Jesus and we love Jesus, and He's with us. And not all is lost. There are still many Americans who love Jesus Christ very dearly, love His Word, and are seeking every day to walk with Him. And the good news is, like Esther, God has brought us to our position in Christ for such a time as this. Esther didn't seek the position. She was given the permission. She was given divine favor. God planned it out for a long, long time. And you know what? You don't see how things are going to pull together and how everything's going to happen. But God's been planning this longer than 30 years. And He knows, and He chose each one of you. Turn to someone and say, He chose you. Now, you may think that's strange. You didn't decide just to be part of this church. Because if God brought you here, you can't leave.
Amen.
You just know you can't leave. You'd like to? Amen? You can't because you're supposed to be here. And you know what? When people start complaining about the church and they talk about going somewhere else, say, hasta luego. Because if God doesn't want you here, you can't stay. God has each one of us where He wants us, and God is going to do a special work in this church. I don't say that because of my previous pastorate here. I say that because a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into laying the foundation. And hopefully, as Pastor Rick said, it was laid well. And it will withstand the storms. Right? This isn't man's church. I used to say with Rochester, we had the Church of the Month Club. We have everyone coming in, starting a new church. Oh, I think we need a new church in Rochester. Actually, I was thinking of moving back from Arizona and starting a church. Well, why not? I could get a salary. I could have lots of friends. I could have an easy life, right? And so Rochester is kind of the Church of the Month Club. They spring up, they go down. They spring up, they go down. I know one thing about New Life Church is God ordained this church. And this church will see its best days coming up. So the good news is, like Esther, God has brought us to our position in Christ for such a time as this. You know what I want to say to you? Love one another. Appreciate one another. We all have our quirks. We all have our level of weirdness. But we have to accept one another because God accepts all of us. And He wants us to be family. This is family. I know us coming back after all these years, didn't it feel like we just picked up? Right? No time. In fact, we all even looked the same. That was amazing. Like frozen in time. As the darkness gets darker, the light will shine brighter if we're prepared and ready. Now I have good news for some and bad news for others. I'm now going to look at our main passage. I won't take long. I'm sorry. I'll tell you what, one thing I have found is pastors are never at a shortage of words. Look with me in Matthew 7, 21 to 23. I'll wait to get a sign from Steve up there. He'll start going. And I'll say, we're going to look at this. It won't take much longer. Are you roasting a pig out there? Yeah. Does he still have a little life in him? No? He's done? He's done. The pig's done. Okay, Matthew 7. Verses 21 to 23, first of all. Well, Pastor Rick did say, feel free. I'm feeling free. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That's kind of frightening, isn't it? There's a lot of people who concentrate on what they have done. Do you see that in that passage? Lord, we did this, we did that, we did this, we did that. No one of us can earn our salvation. And no one of us can take any glory for ourselves. If you're the worship leader and God's giving you anointing in worship, to Him be the glory. Amen? If your job is to preach it, you don't take the glory yourself. To Him be the glory. It's not me. My good works didn't save me. I'm just so thankful I didn't go to hell before I came to know Jesus. And so the concentration isn't on me. So many will say, Lord, Lord. And this calls for discernment on our parts too. You don't open up your heart to everyone. There's some people who think they're Christians, who say they're Christians, who are not Christians. Maybe they don't even know they're not Christians. But we need to have discernment. We need to have keen eyes. We need to have sensitive spirits. Because not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. What's the defining line here? But only who? He who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Faith has to be linked to obedience. Living faith is obedient faith. Faith isn't just knowing the right things, believing the right doctrines. It means I apply these things to my life. I am obedient. I come to church not to say, gee, that was a nice word, or pastor, could you shorten it next time, or add a little humor, or whatever we come up with. I come to church to hear the word that God has given my pastor. And I say to myself, there's going to be at least two or three applications that I have to make to my life. If that is God's word, I am called to do it. If you don't do what God has said to you, you deceive yourself. Do you want to be self-deceptive? You want to fool yourself? Keep listening to the word. You'll be responsible for what you heard. And your reward will be based on how obedient you were. And so not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. It says in let's read verses 24 to 28. If the person next to you is sleeping, please poke them, because I won't take too much longer. In verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and what? Puts them into practice or does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, but what? It did not fall. Because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and what? Put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. And what happened? It fell with a great crash. So we see there's a contrast here. The contrast is between those who hear the word and put the word into practice and those who hear and don't put the word into practice. You can't keep listening to the word deciding if you're going to obey it. If it's God's word, I will do my best to live that out in my life. God's not going to change for me. It's His word. It stood for thousands of years. If He said it, I will do my best to do it. And if I'm having a hard time, with His help, I will be able to put this into practice in my life. So everybody hears the word, but the main difference is those who put it into practice and those who don't. We have a wise man and a foolish man. We have a house built on rock, and we have a house built on sand. And what's the constant in this passage? The rain, the streams, the wind. They're going to come. They don't just come to some, they come to everyone.
Yes.
Do you get some wind? Do you get some rain? Do you get some streams? God uses these things to perfect our character and get us reliant on Him. And so the constant is they're going to come no matter what type of house you have. But the difference is what your house is built on, whether it will stand or whether it will fall. You don't fall overnight. You fall as the result of years of either putting the word into practice or not putting it into practice. The rains come suddenly. The streams rise suddenly. The winds come, and they come to all of us. And the difference is, what have you been building? And you may not realize you're in a building season in your own life. What are you building right now? Because down the road, I'm not wishing this on you. This is Jesus. The winds will come, the rains will come, the streams will rise, and it will show what you built on. Amen? God isn't unkind. Things don't hit us by surprise. We're all building houses. I don't think a lot of people deliberately choose to build on a false or an inferior foundation. They just don't think about their life's purpose. They're thoughtless. They don't plan. Each one of us needs to plan. We need to look back and say, how'd I do over the last year? How'd I do over the last 5 years? Over the last 10 years, do I know any more than I did now? Or are I just operating on feelings? Or getting the next exciting teaching coming down the road? You know what? We need to spend time with the Lord, and your strength will come from your relationship with Him. And I want to mention this too with churches. People, oh, I don't like that church. I don't like that preaching. I mean, grow up. If God called you here, He's going to give you just what you need. The church isn't to be made in your image and likeness. You know, people come like they're going to a tavern with the top 10 songs. They didn't play my song. Get over it!
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what songs they play because we're all worshiping Jesus.
Yeah.
You know? A lot of people, oh, this church didn't do this, do that. You have a self-seeking spirit. It's a worldly spirit. It's not all about you. It's all about Him.
Yeah.
This church isn't about you. It's about Him.
Yeah.
And what He wants. And yeah, we're not perfect and we don't do things great. And there's some styles I don't like. I go to a church right now, they're not charismatic. But that's where God called us. And the pastors give me a blank card to do whatever I want there. Speak any word, pray over people. It's like, praise God. Does He do things the way I want all the time? No. I don't decide, well, if He doesn't do it this way, I'm leaving next week. I don't like this worship ministry. They're kind of boring. Where'd they get that song, you know? We've all become a group of critics who sit in churches criticizing the church. Criticizing everything that goes on. You build your church and we'll come and see how it is. And we'll come and say how we love everything. How we love every person there. We love every song. We love every sermon. Get over it. It doesn't happen. And you know, I believe God leads us to a point sometimes that we're not satisfied. You know why? Because He's reminding us, this isn't about you. It's about Me. Amen? The main purpose of the church is to proclaim the gospel. Make disciples of all nations, and I know you have a heart for that. And the church is also a place to encourage one another. A church is a place for discipleship. The church is a place to grow. If you're not growing, I don't know what to tell you. You need to go before the Lord and get a system analysis. Let him look at you and see what's blocking the growth. If you're holding unforgiveness, God won't hear your prayers. There's a lot of people in this area that I think they're praying a lot, but not going anywhere. Because God says if we hold on to unforgiveness, God will not hear our prayers. Did you know that? What you need to do first is get rid of the problem, get it out of the way so the prayers go up and they're heard and they're answered. I know you're studying a lot about offense and probably bitterness and all that that comes. And that's a good word. Don't hold on to anything. You're going to have people offend you all the time. You're going to have problems. We have to learn to get over it and move on. Amen. I guess it's time for me not to cover my next 15 pages. Not really. Well, I like to be prepared. I was telling Pastor Rick, I'd go through times here. I worked hard many hours just planning and preparing what God wanted me to do. And I'd get up there, I have a few note cards. And all of a sudden, this strange little voice would say, "Preach from the book of Haggai." Excuse me? I'm serious. That would happen. It's like, are you crazy? I mean, I'm talking to people, but I'm going, you got to be crazy. This can't be God, because I am not prepared to do this. And nobody preaches from the book of Haggai, you know. And it was probably one of the best messages I gave because it wasn't mine, it was his. So what do we need to do? I know what I need to do. But I want to pray right now. And I know probably Pastor Rick and Terry may want to pray with people, and Lois and I will too, and anyone else you would like to, Pastor Rick. We're going to believe God for some healing. There's some people here, you need emotional healing. You're struggling with something. It's not a physical thing, but it's manifesting physically. You know that God's speaking to you right now because you have a sense inside. I want you to stand up. Who else?
Amen.
A few more.
Amen.
I don't need to know what it is, but God knows. You know what? We don't need to lay hands on all of you. But I want you to know, because you were humble, God's going to lift it.
Thank you.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you want to let go of it? Some of you wonder why you're so tired. You're tired because you're carrying around a burden that God doesn't want you to carry. I want you to just lift your hands up right now and say, Lord, I give it to you. Lord, it's over. It's gone. I want you to make a decision when it tries to come back. You're going to say, no, I gave it over to the Lord. Some of you have been hurt. Some of you have been hurt terribly by family members. You don't even know if you want to see them again. You know what the Lord's saying? You're going to see them again. Because you're going to be humble and go to them. And you're going to say, I'm sorry that I offended you. Lord, I thank you. I ask you, Lord, to lift all these things. Let's all pray. Let's lift it all. We want it to go, right? It's gone. New beginning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your humility. You can sit down. There's people here that have been struggling with some problems. It could be an addiction. It could be, I don't know what, I don't need to know, because God looks at the heart or whatever. And you're hoping you get some freedom and you don't know how it will ever come. I don't know what it is. I don't need to know. We all have our problems. We all get our addictions. If that's speaking to you right now, and I'm talking about the Holy Spirit speaking to you, stand up right now. We won't embarrass you. No need for embarrassment. Amen. This is a God work. You were humble.
Yes.
You've learned the secret of the kingdom, right? Humble yourself before the Lord and He will do what? He will lift you up. Sean, God's saying to you, you're going to have a new anointing. You've been really praying that you have a stronger anointing in teaching and prophecy. And the Lord's saying, He's going to release that. Thank you, Jesus. You've been faithful. Thank you, Lord. Let me have your hands for a minute. Just thank you, Lord. Father, we impart that anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Lord says, you've really struggled. Sometimes you feel you're at your end of what you're able to do. And the Lord said, this is a time of new anointing. He's going to make your place more spacious. And you're going to sense a whole new power in the Word. And you're going to have a whole new sense of what He's telling you to say to people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just thank Him. Thank Him. Praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you very much, Sean and Ginger. God appreciates you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So if you're praying for some breakthrough, just lift your hands to the Lord now and say thank you. I want you to remind yourself, you can't do things in your own power. God wants you to be weak. So that you can receive His strength and His power and give Him glory, not yourself. Amen? Lord, we thank you for breakthroughs. We thank you for deliverances. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your humility. And lastly, I want to pray for people that have some physical problem. There's someone here, you've been diagnosed with kidney disease, and it's very serious. You haven't shared too much about it. God wants to touch you. If that's you, you can stand up. Anyone else that has a physical problem, God wants to touch you. God wants to heal you. We've really prayed that God will... I preach to you God's Word, right? And God accompanies His Word with signs and wonders, right? How many of you would be excited today to know you got healing? Right? And why not? How many of you are agreeing with me you're going to be a student of the Word? And what you read, you're going to do your very best to apply to your life? Amen? Let's pray right now, Pastor Rick and Terry and Lois and myself and leaders. Let's all pray for everyone here. Let's pray for healing. Thank you, Lord. If you want to come forward and have one of us lay our hands on you, we'll do that. We believe God for physical healing. Thank you, Lord. We glorify your name. We glorify you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We bless you. We thank you, Jesus. Does anyone want hands laid on you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We glorify your name. Kathy, the Lord says to you, you've had struggles at different times, but you know in your heart you've tried your very best. And God says He knows that. He knows that. And sometimes you worry if the road down the road is going to be even harder. And you don't know if you'll be able to stand. And the Lord is saying, He will help you. He will be your strength. He will be your deliverer. He's saying you don't realize it, but you have a very special anointing. That through your prayers, maybe some people don't think you're very spiritual. I don't know. But He knows you are. And He knows your heart. And has used you to touch many people's lives through your prayers. that you don't even know about. And the Lord's going to help you in a special way.
Yes,
thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise
thank
you, Lord
you,
God.
Thank
praise
you, Jesus.
You, Father. We just
thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We pray your healing, Lord. We pray your deliverance, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I sense the Lord saying sometimes you look at your life's end, but the Lord's saying he's not finished with you yet. There's still a work that he wants to do through you. The Lord has started stirring up some desires in your mind, thoughts in your mind. And God's going to do a great work through you. And he has used you in many ways in the past. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray a great blessing on our sister Barbara. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for Jean. She's been so faithful. Thank you, Lord. The Lord says you've prayed when other people didn't pray.